Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. For the next, for this segment, is just going to be you and me, and I've got a couple of things I want to say, some things that are on my mind. I want to talk about what the government is trying to do to stimulate the economy, and how that relates to you and me, and what you and I ought to be doing. One of the things I think we need to be clear about is that the government has already approved essentially what will be in excess of $1 trillion. So it's all said and done, in excess of $1 trillion in government stimulus. Now, you know that I am not a big fan of this program, but regardless, we got it, and we're going to get it. And so, but I think we need to put some things in perspective. And that is this. The president signed this bill into law last week. Have you felt any benefit from it? Okay, it's going to become implemented over the next few weeks. I don't think you're going to feel much benefit from it. It's going to be, you know, fairly well rolled out in terms of how it's going to be executed over the next 6 months, over the next 12 months. By 18 months from now, there will be money flowing into the economy. So here's my point. Now, everybody, I mean, this is what I what I'm saying to you right now is not something all that, it's really all that subjective. I mean, I'm obviously using my own timeline here, but it's pretty close, I think, to what we're going to see. And so if it takes 12 to 18 months for the macro economy to see any benefit from this money that the government's going to pump into the economy, what are you going to do in the meantime? What are your customers going to do in the meantime? Ladies and gentlemen, we can't sit around waiting on the government to help us, small business owners, you and me. We have to do this. This recovery plan, whether 20 years from now, historians write that this was a great idea or a horrible idea, is not really what's important at this moment. What's important at this moment is that you and I believe that regardless of the validity of this plan, it's not going to help you and me in the next 6 to 12 months. And probably for most small business owners, not probably, I'm going to say absolutely, for most small business owners, this plan is not going to help you directly. There may be some things that will happen indirectly, but directly it's not going to help you. So I hope no one out there running a business is thinking that with $1 trillion in new money being put into the economy from this bill, that somehow customers are going to start coming in your door tomorrow or a month from now or even 10 months from now. It's not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. That's not how it's going to work. So if you have that attitude, then you will fail. If you're waiting on the government, fail. That you can count on that. Yes, sir. The answer is we can't wait on someone else to help us. We have to do it ourselves. If you survive in 2009, if you're able to open your business up January 1, 2010, it won't be because of anything the government did. It will have nothing to do with what the government does to stimulate the economy. It will be because you stimulated your own economy, because you got up off your backside and you got up on your hind legs and went out into the marketplace and knocked on doors and said, "Hi, I'm Jim. How do you like me so far?" It'll be because you did that. It'll be because you believed in yourself. It'll be because you believed, as I said earlier, and as I'm going to start saying more and more, because I like this term. And I found out that Abraham Lincoln invoked the concept of appealing to our better angels of nature. He said he invoked that on his inaugural acceptance speech to the American people. He said that, appealing to our better angels, the better angels of our nature. And the better angels of our nature, ladies and gentlemen, is what you and I feel, is the feeling that you and I have about our small businesses. It's the feeling, the attitude that we have about our customers, the relationship that we have with our customers, our desire to help them serve their customers, to help them raise their families, to help them contribute to our society. That's what I mean when I say appealing to our better angels. The productive side, the compassionate side, the side that has this what was created 400 or 500 years ago, the theory of moral sentiment, which means that I'm happy when you're successful. I like seeing you be successful. All of that, ladies and gentlemen, those better angels of our nature, the belief in our system, the concept of capitalism, is that we believe in that, folks, that we fight for that. This is what's going to help you tomorrow. The things I'm talking about are what you can do, what you're going to have to do, and only you can do this for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. If you own a business, if you're an employee of a business, whatever you do, this is what we're all going to have to do. If America survives what we're going through right now, it will not be because of the government. It will be because the citizens of this nation, and in any other nation around the world, the citizens said, "We want this fixed. We want something better, and we're not going to wait on a politician to solve this. We're going to do it ourselves by working, by being productive, by believing in each other, by believing in what we're doing, and by appealing to the angels of our nature." And I believe that with all my heart, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that. I'm going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. I've got a couple more things I want to talk about. Come back, Steve.
Hello, stranger.
Barbara Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back. Wonderful song from the Wayback Machine. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I hope you go to my website when you get a chance and check it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Read my blog. We post something there just about every day. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. You can, if you got 5 seconds, if you got 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes, you want to read, you want to listen, we got something for you there that will help you with your small business. However you like it, we probably got something for you there. Whatever your challenge is, whatever you're excited about, we got something that'll help you there. If you'll just give us a chance there, smallbusinessadvocate.com. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, use our stuff. Folks, I want to talk about the future of capitalism and how I think it may actually be at stake, right? And I just have to be honest with you, I'm concerned about the future of capitalism. Example, let me give you something that's going on right now that's continues to increase my how troubled I am about this. This mortgage bailout that was announced this week. The government is picking winners and losers. The government is going to be rewarding people who made bad decisions with this bailout program. And that is not a good thing. When the government picks winners and losers, when the government, when moral hazard And by the way, with this bailout, with this mortgage bailout plan, folks, moral hazard is but a distant memory. It is completely flown out of the window, and I don't know what it's going to take to get it back. But moral hazard, the problem with moral hazard is when you reward people when someone does something that's wrong, that they shouldn't have done, they get themselves into trouble with it. They maybe even they create problems for other people, which we've seen plenty of that. But the government comes in and rewards those people. So here's the scenario. And I mentioned it a little bit earlier in the week, but I wanted to dwell on it a little bit. There are two people who live next door to each other. One person is a family that's been in the house for, say, 8 years. They have a 30-year mortgage. It's not a variable rate mortgage. They've been making the payments every month. It's a house that they can afford. It always was. Another person moved in 3 years ago into a bigger house. The person has less income, couldn't possibly have qualified for this loan under if there weren't these loans that they've been making, subprime mortgages that they made over the last few years. If it hadn't been for those, which was completely, you know, no way that they should have been made, that person moves in next door to this family, the first family. And but now, because the mortgage is adjusted and the real estate values have come down for everybody, for both families, government is going to now bail out the person who just moved in, the three-year owner who has the subprime loan, who should never have, who maybe even signed a document that said he had five times as much income as he actually really had. The government's going to keep that person in their house, that family in that house. They're not going to have to move. But because of all the subprime mortgages that have been made, the first family lost their job. The economy went south. The first family lost their job. And because those breadwinners in that family lost their job, they're now going to have to move out of their home because they've defaulted. They're foreclosed. The bank is going to foreclose on their mortgage. Now, they didn't do anything wrong. They did everything right. They bought the right house. They bought a house they could afford. They paid their mortgages. They went to work every day. It isn't their fault they got laid off. It's actually the fault of all the people involved in the subprime mess, not just that homeowner who had the subprime mortgage, but a lot of other people as well. That is the reason why that first family lost their job. But yet, the first family is going to lose their home. The second family will get to keep theirs because the government, by government fiat, has decided that that family should be a winner, even though they're the ones who created the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the scenario that we're going to have play out all across the country. It is a horrible thing. There also is the possibility that in this whole process, that the sanctity of contracts could be pierced. And ladies and gentlemen, when the sanctity of contracts are pierced, when the contracts that you and I make can be dissolved or augmented by government fiat, then all bets are off. And that's when the future of capitalism really will be at stake. So watch for that. We need to pay attention to that. And the reason I'm telling you all this is because this time, ladies and gentlemen, for those of us who believe in capitalism, this is not a time for you and me to be quiet. This is a time that you and I must get off of our backsides, get up on our hind legs, and we must defend our economic system. And I do know that the people who are in charge of our government pay attention to polls. You and I are going to have to be more vocal. If you believe, as I do, that there is an assault on capitalism right now, we're all going to have to defend it. One of the ways we're going to have to do that is by doing our job, by operating our small businesses, but we're also going to have to be more vocal. We cannot be silent at this point in time in our history. Think about that. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back after these messages, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.